Good afternoon. It's good to see everyone here this afternoon. You know, one thing I was thinking of is Matt, in his introduction this morning, mentioned that his parents had traveled in, and wasn't necessarily to listen to him, but it was kind of a bonus to. But they were in to see his grandson, or their grandson. My grandma reminded me that she came to see her grandson tonight. So, and even Heath himself drove from Texas just to hear me. So I wasn't nervous until about now, but no, it's good to see everyone here this afternoon. I appreciate Jordan reading Matthew 11 there, and you can turn there if you haven't done so already. We're not necessarily going to be going verse by verse there, but I wanted to start off my introduction building up to a phrase that Jesus used. During his earthly ministry, Jesus often concluded a lesson by crying out, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." We see this here in Matthew 11, where Jesus is teaching about the kingdom, and we see that John is having some doubt. In verse 7, Jesus starts speaking to the multitude concerning John. As John sat in prison, he began to have some doubt whether Jesus was the Messiah. He sat in doubt, realizing or having doubt whether he was the Messiah. If John's purpose was in fact to be leading the way and preparing the way for Jesus, what was he doing here in prison? That's going through his mind. And if Jesus really was the Messiah, then why was he in prison when he could be out and should be out preaching to the crowd, preparing their hearts as his purpose? And Jesus takes his time to show the history that this multitude knew and had known for a while, and they relied on for years from what the prophets had said, in order to show more of that Jesus was who he says he was, and he was the one they were looking for. And before he moves on with his talk, he goes again and says in verse 15 that we looked at and stated already, "He that has an ear to hear, let him hear." We also see this used many other times, and a couple times also in Matthew 13 when Jesus speaks of the parable of the sower, and later on in that chapter in verse 43 when he gives the explanation of the parable of the tares. We can also see outside of his earthly ministry in revelation in the letter to the churches of Asia, when Jesus would conclude with a similar phrase, but he would add, "He that who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say." So with all that, what is the point of this saying? Why would Jesus speak this way so often to his people? You know, we should be getting the mindset already through what we've already talked about, that what Jesus had said or what he was about to say was very important, and we needed to listen, and the people at the time also needed to listen. We can also learn that Jesus had a problem that we still face today, and that problem is that many people simply will not listen. Or maybe they don't listen enough to understand what is being said. So do you know of someone like that today? Do you know of someone that is hard of listening? Or maybe is that person you? I'm convinced that many today don't appreciate the importance of listening well. It concerned Jesus, and it should concern us today. And I believe it's appropriate for us to study and ask ourselves, how well do I listen? The first thing I want to start off, we're going to look at different things this afternoon, but the first thing I want to do in starting off is point out that there are different types of listeners that we know of, and we can see this through scriptures. The first thing I want us to consider is in Hebrews 5 and verse 7 through 14, if you'll turn your Bibles there, we need to consider that there are many that are described as dull of hearing. Again, in Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 14. It says, "Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk or of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It talks here about some of the Hebrew Christians were labeled as this type of hearer, this type of listener, that of being dull of hearing. These brethren knew Jesus. They knew the things that he had suffered. They had known him even through the teachings of the prophets and those that were sent before Jesus. The writer here says that these Hebrew Christians should be at the point of going out and teaching others, but they are not. They're just not interested of the things they should be, interested in the word as they should be. They can't get past the simple things in life, the simple things that the scripture tells them because of how they listen. The fault is not due to the subject, the fault is not due to the material or even the speaker that is presenting the message, but rather it is them and their heart. They are not giving that appropriate effort into their listening. Isaiah wrote of these same types of hearers, and Jesus applied it in many in his day as well. What Jesus taught us is that people are the way they are because their heart simply is not in it. They choose not to be involved. They don't have the same desire as they should and as we all should, and this will prevent them to do several things. It prevents them to have that true understanding of God's word. It will prevent them to turning away from sin. And not by turning away from that sin, they won't be able to strive towards God like they should. And then ultimately, it will prevent those who are dull of hearing to be healed or be saved by God. We don't want to be this type of hearer. We don't want to be dull of hearing. The next one I want to look at is one that has itching ears. You know, throughout my life, this is probably the one we've heard the most talked about, and the sermons kind of go towards more of this itching ear listener. But many today don't have interest in a particular topic until it is something that sounds enticing to them. It's something that feeds on their selfish intents. Let's turn to 2 Timothy there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. It reads in the first verse, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The final chapter here in 2 Timothy begins with a charge for Timothy to preach the word at all times. He's warned because there will come a time when people will not listen or endure the sound doctrine, but instead they will follow teachers who tell them and who preach to them what they want to hear. Timothy was warned to be watchful, to endure what afflictions may come his way and to do the work of an evangelist as he fulfilled his ministry, preaching that word that needed to be preached to lead the people in the right direction. Again, many people today are afflicted with this type of listening problem of having itching ears. The third one I want to look at is being described as one who hears with a noble and good heart. We see different scriptures where Jesus himself spoke of these type of listeners, but I want to take a few minutes and turn to the book of Acts, in the 17th chapter. Acts 17, verses 10 through 15. We see here a group called the Bereans that we are familiar with. Acts 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than these in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also, and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Again, many of us are familiar with this group of people here in Acts who are the Bereans, and we know that they were ones that searched the scriptures daily to confirm whether those things that they heard were true. The Bereans were described here as being more noble. We just read that in the verses here. In the New King James Version, refers to them as being fair-minded. So what they're actually doing is giving Paul really a fair hearing of the things he was presenting. They didn't want to just dismiss the things that Paul had to say, but they wanted to hear him intently with an open mind to what he had to say. But what they did differently is they followed up Paul's message with a "Thus saith the Lord." They wanted to find the scripture to prove what he was saying. They were concerned about their relationship with God, and they didn't want to just take man's word as gospel. Especially when there were so many people in that day that we read earlier that were confusing others and those around them with fables. It's a lesson that we all need to apply to our lives. And as we read in verse 11, they did this, and they received the word with all readiness of mind. This is the kind of listener we need to be. We need to be that noble and good heart listener. So why is this important to be noble and good in our listening? Well, we're going to take a minute and look at a few reasons why good listening is essential for us. And the first thing I want us to look at is good listening is essential to being blessed. Being blessed in this life, but also more so being blessed in the life to come. As many have said, that doesn't mean that we're going to be blessed to the point of having a lot of wealth, a lot of possessions, good health, you know, and so on. But what that does mean is that we are going to be blessed eternally through Jesus Christ. Paul shows us this in Ephesians 1. If you'll turn there, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 8. Verse 3 starts with, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Continue on to verse 8. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So what we can see here is that we do, and we need to understand that we have many spiritual blessings through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we do not listen in the right manner, we're going to miss out on those blessings. And if we're not carefully listening to what God has told us through his word, we will have a hard time to enjoy this blessing of eternal life. So good listening is essential to being blessed, but it is also essential to our saving faith. God told us that we will be saved through our faith in Christ. If you talk to most religious groups, they understand that faith brings that saving to us. Our salvation is based on our faith. Such faith is simply starts with proclaiming the gospel, hearing the gospel. You know, we can take the Bible, we can read the Bible, we can build our faith, we can become faithful to what God has said, but it takes the start of hearing the gospel, hearing what God has said. I want us to look at Romans 10, verses 14 through 17. Romans 10, 14 through 17. How shall they then call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall thou believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall thou preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of things. Excuse me. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So one reason faith is often lacking within us is because we simply may not listen the way we need to. We're not good listeners. If we don't hear the word of God and we don't listen the way we need to, we're going to miss out on the evidences of God and his word that produces our true faith that we need in God. So I ask you a question. Does your listening hinder the development of your faith? Good listening is essential to bearing fruit for the Lord. In the parable of the sower, the only kind of soil or heart capable of bearing fruit was the one that listened properly. That is because bearing fruit comes from understanding the grace of God. I'd like to look real quick in Colossians, if you turn there as well with me. Colossians 1, 3 through 6. It reads, if we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for this hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. We see here that the gospel was bearing fruit in the Colossian brethren. And the gospel started bearing fruit in them, it says, since the time, the day they heard and knew or understood the grace of God and truth. Only by listening can we understand God's grace. And by listening, then we can be motivated to bearing fruit for him. Next, good listening is essential to preventing us from falling away. We need to understand that this is a danger. This is a real danger to us. When we lose sight of that danger, when we think that we're strong enough and we're not going to fall away, this is when reality sets in. This is a real danger of drifting away. We all know that this is not typically immediate action of falling away? Unless one only believed maybe because of a relationship they had, family or friends. And, you know, sometimes we've seen this throughout the years, that when that relationship's over, they do just automatically just fall away because they really hadn't built their faith in it. But most of the time, we see that it is a drifting process. And we have to be careful that we don't drift away and neglect so great of a salvation that we're warned of here in Hebrews. So I want to look real quick at Hebrews as well. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" So what we read here is that the only solution is to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Poor listening is the first step of us falling away. Falling away from our salvation. Now, with this point alone and what we've already studied so far, this should be enough for us to understand the importance of our listening. But the last thing I want to look at, just one more thing, talking about the essential things of our listening, is good listening is essential for avoiding rejection and condemnation. Not only do those who teach us God's word have the right to reject us if we do not listen to them, but we judge ourselves unworthy of eternal life. If we reject the gospel, if we reject the salvation and reject the home in heaven that God has prepared for us, if we do not obey, the rejection and condemnation is not limited to just from those individuals that we reject their teachings, but it comes from God. We must understand the importance of listening to God's word and make sure that we do not reject that. So with all these things that we've talked about so far, how can we improve our ability to listen? Just as those of us who come up before you and speak to the congregation look for ways that others can understand and try to make things easier for all of us, all that hear need to learn to listen so that we can understand what God expects of us. We must understand the importance of listening to God's word and make sure that we do not reject it. That is what's important. But what I want to do now, as we bring this lesson to a close, is even though some of this sermon might have been basic to many, and the principles that I want us to look at may be basic, I want to share them because I know we have several young children and young adults here that are in their impressionable years. These years that will create the way they live their lives for the future. But even though they may seem basic to some of us, it is something that we need to consider. We need to look at these principles and be reminded of them and reflect on our lives to whether we're living the way we need to live. So the first principle I want us to look at is to simply be at services each and every time we can. This shows our desire that we want to become better servants for God. Or do we find ourselves justifying why we continually have to miss services? We say, well, I'm just not feeling the greatest. Well, the congregation is just too far away to go back through in the middle of the week. Or, you know, we sure need to make sure our kids get to that game or that practice. We've invested a lot of time and money into them, and if they don't make that practice, they'll never get to play games. What do we place as a priority in our lives, and more importantly, in our children's lives? The second thing I want to look at is make listening an act of our worship. how you listen to God's word when it is being read or preached is an indication of how devoted you are to God. Are you actually hearing what is being preached? You know, you hear the words, but you're not really applying them to their life. You're not really listening and how you can change your life. Are you thinking about many other things in life, but not really concentrating on what is being taught? We all have things in our lives that we find fully interesting. You know, whether that be sports, whether right now politics, movies. I mean, the list can go on and on. I was at dinner this past Friday with peers from work, and just listening to the conversations we were talking about. We were talking about movies that were back in the 50s and 60s even, and these individuals could tell you when the release date of the movie was. They could tell you who the actors were. They could tell you the famous taglines of those movies. They could tell you everything about that movie because that's what they were interested in. And we could imagine if I stood up here and talked about those things, how engaged everyone would be. But should we not listen to God's word with that same interest, that same desire to hear what's being said? And does it not deserve more of our attention? The third thing is we need to look at the speaker. Now, this is the point I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. I'm one of those individuals that can't concentrate at all. I mean, my concentration just goes away. I could be looking at the speaker. I can, you know, try to be as engaged as I am, but then all of a sudden I look around and I'm like, huh, I need to fix that. That's not good. Maybe I could reorganize this. And then all of a sudden I've come up with the entire material list. I figured out what day of the week I'm going to do this. I figured out if I need to get help on this. And the list goes on and on. And about 10 or 15 minutes later, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's still up there. We need to just simply start by looking at the one speaking. And this requires us to have self-discipline within ourselves, to be fully engaged with the speaker is trying to say, but not just because of what he's saying, but or not because of, you know, the things he's trying to get through us, but how we can apply them to our life. We need to try it and see if that doesn't make a difference in how we listen. The fourth thing is read along in your Bible. We have become a generation of visual aids, such as this PowerPoint, and these are great things. And I almost thought about not doing a PowerPoint for this sermon when I was getting ready for Waverly last week, but you know, I got to thinking, you know, I'm trying to put this all towards, or mostly towards the young ones here, and I know with my children and other children here at the congregation, they do everything they can to try to write down everything that's on that overhead, and this is a great thing. They may not understand half of it, but at least they're trying to figure out what's going on, and they're writing those things down. But really, the best visual aid that we have is simply reading the words of God. Reading the Bible, we will see that our knowledge of the Scriptures will improve just by following along with an open Bible. It will help us even more when we study certain topics down the road and throughout our lives. And just from our memory, we'll know where we need to go to find that verse. We will know what that verse says. We will know what that context is meaning. Again, simply just by following along in the Bible. The fifth thing we're going to look at is to listen with faith. Be as the Bereans and listen with a willingness to accept and to believe what is shown in God's word. I want to turn to Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 2, and just read something real quick here on listening with faith. Verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." I want to stop right there. We see here that those, he's saying of old, they died not listening with faith. And he's telling us that we need to listen, if we do not listen with faith, we might find ourselves falling short of that heavenly rest. So we need to make sure that as we're listening with faith. And the last thing I want us to consider as a principle for making our listening better is to listen with a mind to act. Are we like the people in Ezekiel's day, in Ezekiel 33, where they loved to hear him, but for the wrong reason? Do we love the sermon because how well the preacher got up here and spoke the word and how he presented the lesson? It needs to be more than just listening. You know, that's great. It makes it easier if you have a preacher that makes it easier to listen and follow along. But we need to go past that. We need to be doers. I would like to go to a familiar passage we're all familiar with in James 1. James 1, verses 22 through 25. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We must understand that hearing must be accompanied by doing the word, being doers of the word, for this to be any profit. As important as listening may be, the blessings only come if we apply what we hear and we become doers as well. Well, bringing this lesson to a close, to be blessed in what we do begins with listening in the proper way. I feel we can all say by going through this lesson that when it comes to listening to God, it is very important. When we read a passage like we started the sermon off where it says, he who has an ear, let him hear. We must understand that this is important. We must listen. We also find God speaking to us in a similar way in Luke 9, verse 35, where he says, this is my beloved Son, hear him. So again, taking all this that's been said through this lesson, when God tells us to hear him, we must understand that the things that Jesus says is important. The things that we can read of Jesus and the warnings he gives, they are worthy of our attention, and we need to listen. So have you listened to the word spoken by Jesus and obeyed his commands? Or will he cry out, and as he did in Luke 6, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Each and every one of us have a responsibility to listen. So have you listened to him and been baptized into his family? If not, then you are lost. Won't you listen to his desire for you? Won't you listen to his warnings? Won't you believe in him, repent of your sins that you have in your life? Won't you confess Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sins? If there's anything that we can do this afternoon to help you get closer and be part of God's family, we'd ask that you'd make it known as together we stand and sing.